Good evening, everyone. We now convene the June 20th, 2005 committee meeting of the House Special Committee on Budget, Subcommittee on Human Services and Public Safety. We have two items of business to deal with today. The first is a public hearing on House Bill 3124. We now open. This relates to courts and fee. It's a fee bill for filing fees and other surcharges. And we have reviewed this individually. It's come to us from another committee, from the Committee on Judiciary. And in discussing it, I guess in determining how much time to spend on this in this public hearing, I would ask, is there anyone on the committee who, having reviewed this, wants to have specific questions answered, or are we okay with what we've seen as we've reviewed the bill ourselves? That's all right. Okay. Is there any general public that would like to speak on this, or any agency member who feels compelled to speak on it before we approve it? I didn't think so. With that, then we will close the public hearing and open a work session on House Bill 3124A. All the amendments are included in the bill as it stands. We would accept the chair accept a motion on this. You want to give it?
I would be glad to move, Mr. Chair. I move 3124A to the full committee with due pass recommendation.
Okay. All right. We would accept an amendment to your motion. Because there is the A3s. And so,
Mr. Chair, I would move the A3 amendments to House Bill 3124.
Representative Hansen moves A3 amendments be included as part of House Bill 3124. Is there discussion? Is there objection? So carried. And so now we have House Bill 3124 as amended with the A3 amendments.
Chair, I would move House Bill 3124 with the dash A3 amendments to the full committee with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Hansen moves House Bill 3124 as amended to the full House Special Committee on Budget with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, the motion passes and it will now go forward to full committee. Would you go ahead and carry it?
I would love to carry it.
And with that, we will close the work session on House Bill 3124A. Boy, did you get off.
Did you do a conflict of interest? Is this your bill?
I don't do conflict.
I know, County Commissioner Hansen.
Still pondering.
Oh, Dennis, I brought all the background I had.
House couldn't afford to lose it. My own experience.
No, we couldn't afford it.
More?
I'm a cheap date.
You want me to pass it down?
There were a lot of people that seemed interested in the campaign.
Is this different than what we got a little bit, Sheila? Okay. So why don't we just put this away?
That's right. That's it.
Walk. How many miles?
Two.
Oh.
51.
Okay, I understand.
How many cars does he have? A Porsche, 51 pickup, and a new pickup. You're going to find some rich.
Well, speed there. I'm limited to
three or four, I think you told me. And a beach house.
Come on, he's got four.
And a beach house.
Well, it's rusty.
It doesn't matter. It makes it more fun. You got red on the top. You didn't wear a hat either.
No.
You know, fry your brain cells. You don't wear a hat.
That's
huh?
Never been able to work.
All right, everyone. This time we'll convene a work session on House Bill 5148, Department of Human Services, Department-Wide Support Services. Ms. Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee. The work session on department-wide support services is the first work session you will have on the Department of Human Services budget. Generally, how we'll proceed is through the rest of this week, you'll see each of the budget clusters, and we'll do preliminary work sessions on those. Once you've worked through all of those and made the preliminary decisions, we'll come back with the department's budget as a whole to look at the conceptual amendments and then any other adjustments that you've directed us to make. As you may or may not remember, since we last heard from department-wide support services in the spring, this budget cluster represents the central administrative support for the Department of Human Services and its central policy functions, including the Office of Director and some program functions that work for the agency as a whole. For example, the Governor's Advocacy Office, Pain Management Commission, little things like that. So what I've given you this morning is a slightly revised memo from what was handed out to you on Friday, and I'll talk about the reasons for that. I've also attached the spreadsheet that we will work through. We'll work through both the memo and the spreadsheet. And then in an attempt to be prepared to answer questions about specific policy packages, I've also included a display for each of the policy packages in the department-wide support services budget that shows where it started out in the governor's budget and then the adjustments that we're recommending be made to those. So, again, what we want to do today is walk through the, and I will call it DWSS budget from here on out, with the goal of preliminary approval of that budget. Also look at the proposed performance measures, and then I would like to have the subcommittee talk about the next steps for the staffing study. You heard a report on that a couple weeks ago. There is money continuing in the budget for the next biennium, and there should be some direction to the agency about where that staffing study goes next. So starting on page one of the revised memo, you can see on the table there the comparisons for the actual expenditures for 0103, legislatively approved 0305 budget, and this is after the May rebalance, the governor's initial recommended budget, and then our revised recommended budget. And we'll talk about the reasons for those differences. The preliminary adjustments to the governor's budget that we're recommending are shown on the attached spreadsheet. I did want to note that those include changes based on what the department submitted for their reshoot, that is their repricing of the governor's budget. So there were ups and downs in that reshoot. That reshoot included caseload adjustments, cost adjustments, up and downs for things that happened in the other budget clusters, and then technical adjustments and transfers. And although those technical adjustments and transfers don't have a fiscal impact for the department as a whole, they can swing individual clusters' budgets significantly one way or the other. And in this budget, the DWSS budget, you see a significant increase as a result of those technical adjustments and transfers. During the work sessions with the Joint Human Services Subcommittee, the department said that they were looking to consolidate their payment collection and recovery functions, which at that point were mostly in DWSS, but also in Children, Adults, and Families, and a little bit in Health Services. They wanted to consolidate that. And one of the major technical adjustments here is to do that consolidation. So you have 82 more positions coming into DWSS and the funding attached to that. then you'll see the technical changes that we've made for PERS and the Attorney General rates in all of the budgets. You'll see the House budget actions that reduce the general fund services and supplies and capital outlay expenditures by 3% across the board. And then we eliminate the costs in the DWSS budget that are associated with the package in the Children, Adults, and Families budget to increase Attorney General representation for child welfare workers. And then there's a couple other tweaky adjustments that we are recommending in our office. On page
Now, is tweaky a technical budget term?
Tweaky is a technical budget term, yes.
It's probably an acronym.
I'll have to make up something to make it an acronym. On top of page 2 of the memo, it does note that although there is a placeholder package in this budget for the computer and networking infrastructure consolidation, CNIC, all that that package does in this budget is to move a dollar from personal services to services and supplies. The intention is that when the numbers are ready for that consolidation, that there will be a separate bill that makes those changes, but the agencies that are participating in that project, their budget for 05-07 won't change in terms of dollar amounts. It will change in terms of, instead of positions and personal services and services and supplies related to the costs that are going into that project, that money will be shifted into a payment for the charges for the consolidated operating center. So you won't see a bottom line change, but when that separate bill comes forward, it will shift where that funding is in the budget. So I just wanted to note that. So at this point, that's sort of an overview of what's in the spreadsheet. So let me walk quickly through the spreadsheets if there's no questions on that.
I have a question.
Where's it? Wasn't it?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Baker, the biggest difference between the 2003-2005 and this revised is the 82 children and families positions. But we're talking about $100 million addition. Is that also those, you know, how would you summarize $100 million increase?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Wisnut, there's several components. There's a lot of ups and downs in the budgets, but the major cost increases are related to the data processing projects for the Medicaid Management Information System and for the Child Welfare Automated System, what they call SACWIS, S-A-C-W-I-S. Those two projects add the bulk of that $100 million, and I did come prepared with a spreadsheet that talks about that. The MMIS project is phased in, so it's not a separate policy package in this budget, but the SACWIS project is, and so you'll see those numbers.
Mr. Chair.
Crazy, wasn't it?
I'm sorry, because I wasn't in the phase one and phase two, but I mean, so the $100 million is not for helping people, it's for creating computer systems that will help people, I guess.
Well, this is DWSS, so this is not going to be, there won't be money here. That's going straight to programs because it's the support systems as compared to the other clusters for Medicaid or Medicare money Medicaid money or the Oregon Health Plan, you know, those kinds of things. Those will be separate clusters that we'll see later this week.
And, Mr. Chair, Representative Wisnut, the total funds related to both of those projects is about $80 million, $82 million as adjusted. And I would note that both of those projects are ones that are being undertaken in order to meet federal mandates for the program. So the Medicaid Management Information System relates to particularly to health services, but also to other Medicaid pieces in the department budget. And then the SACWIS system is being upgraded, again, to meet federal mandates for reporting on child welfare.
Just one, Ms. Chair, just one follow-up on that.
Wasn't it?
So both of these computer or data system programs had to come online this year, and they've not been, there's no workup, and there's no, you know, future year cost. Is that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Wisnett, actually neither of these will come online during the current biennium. For the Medicaid Management Information System project, they've been working on this for a few years. This is, I believe, what could be characterized as the bulk of expenditures for that project to get it online and running, but it will still be a couple years before it's fully operational. On the SACWIS side, this is the first additional funding for the upgraded project that's in the budget, and so it will not be operational this biennium either. But these are necessary pieces to start because they are major projects and they both need planning because there's federal funds involved and the federal partners are such an integral part of that. The feds have to sign off on everything that gets done. Then contractors have to be hired and the systems developed. It's for the most part, the department is looking for, it's not off the shelf in the sense that you go down and buy a Microsoft product or a video game, but off the shelf products are products that are being used by other states that they can modify for their purposes. So they're not starting from the ground up, but it does still take a considerable amount of time to get them online.
Just one follow, and I won't. I'm sure that the committee. I'm sure that the committee, Mr. Chair, and thank you. And phase one and phase two has looked at all this, but basically, this is a federal. Is it a federal match one to one, or that'd be my last?
Mr. Chair and Representative Wisnett, many of the expenditures are either 75-25% or 90-10%, depending on the project and the particular expenditure. So it's an increased federal match over and above the normal 50-50 administrative match rate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Ms. Baker.
Hannah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Baker, the $97 million is the difference. $82 million goes to MMIS and SACWIS. The other 15, does your spreadsheet give any detail to that or?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hannah, what you'll see as we walk through this is that there's a significant general fund increase in terms of federal funds and other fund shortfalls that are shifting. That doesn't affect the bottom line, but it does affect the amount of general fund in their budget for increasing. The other expenditures are related to primarily the functions that are more functions being transferred into department-wide support services. So as I mentioned, the payment recovery and collection staff being transferred into the department-wide support services. When we get to the technical adjustments, you'll see that that's a $9 million increase in this budget. Some of it is additional state government service charge costs that every agency has to incur. Those are the major factors associated with that.
Thank you.
Okay,
I will start walking through this two-page spreadsheet now. As I noted, it has changed in one aspect from the preliminary set that was sent out, and I'll get to that on page three. But the items on page one and the first two-thirds of page two show line items for what was requested by the department in terms of reshoot adjustments, so repricing the governor's budget. And I've tried to group these in a way that made sense to me. I hope it makes sense to you as well. I've grouped them into the workload cost and revenue issues and then other revisions to the governor's budget. And then looked at both of those separately. The workload cost and revenue issues, the first three, well, let me start back on line one. The starting point, again, is the governor's recommended budget. So that's what you'll be making adjustments to because that's the official numbers that we are working from. And so you can see in this budget, it's $118.6 million general fund, $410.5 million total funds. Then the agency in their reshoot request, the first three items here are items that are carried forward from the 2003-05 budget rebalance. So House Bill 5077 that you approved, was it only last month? Last month. Those are items that were indicated in those rebalance that carry forward as having an impact on the 05-07 budget. Then there are additional expenditures that they've identified. Line 5, relates to the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. They've been working on this for some time. It's going to take a little bit longer on this particular project, so they've added funding for that. And you can see that has an enhanced federal match rate as well. There is a vocational rehabilitation grant that you will see when we get to the children, adults, and families budget. Part of that grant can be used to support department-wide expenditures, services and supplies, rents, phone lines, that kind of thing. So there's federal funds added here for that. Then the next two items relate to additional staffing that shows up in the reshoot for senior and people with disabilities positions and health services positions. And so there's central costs associated with that that are added to this budget. I will note that as we're going through these preliminary budgets, I'm showing this here. If when you see the senior and people with disabilities budget or the health services budget, and John Britton, for whatever reason, recommends against those, then in our final adjustments, we will take those out. But at this point in talking with him, it looked like those would be remaining as recommended in his cluster budgets for those two.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Baker, so on item 7, where you're describing that as staffing, is there an FTE that goes with that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanna, the staffing is in the senior and people with disabilities budget. What this represents are the central agency costs associated with that staff, so like additional rent, telephone lines, data processing charges, those kinds of things. Those are all budgeted for in the department-wide support services budget. And so if there's positions added, generally they will be looking for some central administrative costs as well. Not always. I mean, if you're adding one position, you may not be adding rent costs, for that example. But as we work through this, you'll see as well one of our final recommendations is to also take out some of those central costs based on positions that go out in the SPD budget.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Follow-up, Representative Hanna.
Thank you. Ms. Baker, I kind of trying to come up with a number in my head that says if we add folks to any of the other subgroups, how many people does it take in department-wide support services to support them? If we add 10 people, do we add one over here? Is there any kind of a number that would help us with that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanna, I guess my answer to that would be I don't have one number that you can use. I can tell you for these particular ones, for example, the positions in SPD on line 7, they added office expenses, rent, expendable property, which includes system furniture, data processing, because they need to get computers to get these up and running, and then expendable property. So that is slightly different than what was added for line 8, because in that case they didn't add rent because it's only 4 positions. So office expenses, expendable property, data processing is what was added there. So it varies depending on what's being added, where it's being added. So I don't have a firm and fast number to give you. Okay, line 9. You will see this in the health services reshoot as well. The president's budget proposed eliminating the federal health services block grant. It's almost $1 million grant. And so the agency in their reshoot initially thought that would be happening, and so that they would have to use general fund to backfill both in health services and then the portion of that grant that was used in department-wide support services for central administrative costs. And you'll see later on we're recommending taking that out based on updated estimates of what's going to happen with that grant. But at this point in the reshoot, they thought that federal money was going away and that they would need to backfill general fund for that. And then the next one relates to the Title 19, which is the Medicaid match rate. Some of the expenditures in department-wide support services are matched for Medicaid at the same rate as the program dollars, although much of it is 50-50. But when that federal match rate changes, and you'll see much bigger numbers when we get into the program clusters, when the federal match rate changes up or down, we consider it to be fungible with general funds. So when it's to our benefit in the sense of federal matching funds, we take out general fund for those additional federal funds. Alternatively, a few years ago, you saw us adding in general fund to backfill federal fund. So this is just the impact on department-wide support services of the federal match rate change. Then other governor's budget revisions, and I tried to identify these as they relate to the various policy packages. The first one relates to the Medicaid Management Information System project phase-in. It's a change in timing and a change in funding, and the fact that there are additional monies, certificates of participation monies from this biennium that are being carried forward into the next. So that reduced the other funds expenditures a little bit. For lines 12 and 13, these are corrections to the package that rolled forward the effects of the department's November 2004 budget rebalance. So those things that they did in November 2004 relative to the 2003-2005 budget, many of them have an impact on 05-07. And so that package was included in the governor's budget. However, there are adjustments here to that package. The first, the most significant, is $12 million general fund and $24 million total funds coming out because the additional costs of the PERS pension obligation bonds to agencies were built into their budgets. But in the November 2004 rebalance, the department shifted that funding. But when it shifted the funding, it didn't take out the original place it had put the funding. And so we had basically a double count of those pension bond obligation expenditures. And so this is to correct for that double count. So it's a significant adjustment, but it's just a correction of the governor's budget. Then the other correction was they had also double counted some savings both in this package and then again in the 090 package, which was the governor's budget reductions. They had counted this $500,000 general fund savings twice. And if you took out both of those savings, basically there wouldn't be much money at all left in contracts and procurement. So they had to add that back in. Then line 14 removed services and supplies costs in package 103 related to the restoration of the Oregon Health Plan standard program. In the governor's original budget, package 103 basically said we need central costs for department-wide support services because in 03-05 the OHP standard program was eliminated, then it came back online with the provider tax, and we need to recognize those central costs related to that program restoration. The issue was that when the program was originally eliminated, the positions came out in the clusters, but there were no central administrative costs removed at that time, and so they rolled forward in the budget. So in reviewing this, it was determined that they didn't need these costs because it was already in the budget. So all this is removing basically that double count of centralized costs related to those OHP positions. And related to that, I want to jump now to page 3, the top of page 3 in line 29. Our initial recommendation was to say, okay, that's well and good, you don't need additional costs, but you can use the provider tax to offset general fund costs for those simple administrative costs, and that way save some general fund. On further discussion and reflection, because of the repricing issues that were done in the rebalance for 03-05 and then carried forward in the reshoot here, that basically gave them a double hit on general fund for those positions. And so although the initial recommendation in the memo that you saw said do that fund shift, we're now revising our recommendation and say don't do the fund shift. It would be a double hit. Just leave the reshoot as is. So that's the effect of lining out line 29 there.
Present. enhance confidence in the numbers that we're getting from the department. What's next?
Mr. Chair, all I can say is that as we're going through these numbers and trying to put them together, there's a lot of questions, a lot of needing to go back and research things and figure out what the impact of something is. And I will note that it is easy to get things wrong. Okay, so top of page two. There are two adjustments to the Medicare Modernization Act package, the part that's in department-wide support services. And again, these relate to changes elsewhere in the department's budget. There are additional positions being asked in the reshoot for seniors and people with disabilities for caseload growth projected as a result of the Medicare Modernization Act. So there's some central administrative costs for that. There's some system contract work that needs to be done. That's added in there. And then there are some limited duration positions staffing toll-free lines that are being continued. I believe it's for 8 months into the new biennium, and so there's costs related to that.
I have a question on that. I need to get probably from the agency. My understanding is that currently when elderly are calling in, or as they do throughout the summer, that if they're not double eligible, they don't get their questions answered. They may get the 800 number that the federal government has, which in some instances means that you just can't get there. In other words, you get on the phone and you get on hold. One person I talked to had, they hung up after being on hold for 35 minutes at the 800 number. And so my question is whether or not it's appropriate for Oregon not to answer Oregon senior citizens' questions, but merely hand them over to the federal. So my question is on the adequacy of four limited duration positions to answer these kinds of questions.
Mr. Chair, I would suggest that that discussion could be had on, I believe it's Thursday, when you talk about the senior and people with disabilities budget, because that's where those four positions are, and we can alert. I mean, the agency now has that question in front of them, and they can bring back that information.
That sounds good. Representative Hansen.
Well, this is certainly an important issue, but I think the president himself is going out to explain the benefit package to the seniors. So these four positions are just going to supplement his efforts.
Okay. Oh, that's true. Thursday, we'll ask the question, though. We need to find out. We just have to make sure that we know what we're anticipating for the remainder of this year, because there are going to be so many confused elderly over this whole shift in payment of prescriptions.
Okay. Line 17 relates to the child welfare information system that we talked about. This is shifting the issuance of certificates of participation for that project to a little bit later in the biennium, so there's some general fund debt service savings there. There's also, in the initial package, it did not add funding for the cost of issuance of the certificates of participation, which is necessary. And then there's a couple positions being reclassified based on recommendations of the human resources folks in terms of the project management and who's working on the project.
Mr. Chair. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Baker, I hate to back up, but I want to ask this question again. On item 16, the cost for the four positions to staff the toll-free lines. Now, this is just DWSS costs, right?
Yes.
This isn't payroll. This isn't benefits. This isn't any of that. So what does $4,709 a year per person buy us for those four people?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanna, maybe I don't have that detail here, but my generally what it would buy you would be a little bit of either telephone telecommunications costs or some additional office expenses costs. So paper, pens, pencils, that kind of thing. But I can get that specific detail for those four.
follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Follow-up. Representative Hanna.
So my understanding, it would be the phone line cost or SNS costs associated with those four positions.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanna, yes, that would be my best guess at it. I'll get the detail, though.
Thank you.
Okay, the next package is on line 18, and this is their forecasting package. This, similar to the discussion on what's in the budget already for positions being added, in this package and in package 119 next to it, there were positions being requested as permanent positions that were either currently being double-filled or funded as limited duration positions. So the question to the agency was, aren't you already paying for some of the services and supplies that you would normally add for new positions? And the answer was yes, and so they've backed that out of those packages. Package 20 is just a line 20 in package 123 is a correction to the governor's budget. The federal fund got significantly overstated there, and this just backs that out. 19 was removing some services and supplies costs for positions that are currently filled as limited duration. So they won't have to buy computers for those people, for example, because they already have them. They're filling them as limited duration. Then on line 21, package 129, this adds additional staff, and you'll see this in children, adults, and families as well. Those of you who were on the committee earlier remember the discussion of the Medicaid quality control mandate, that it would significantly increase the number and the timing of the reviews for the department to do. And based on what states who had been a pilot in this Medicaid quality control improvement effort and revised regulations that are expected to come out from the federal government, the department determined that it needed additional resources over and above what it had already asked for that Medicaid quality control effort or enhancement. And this is one of the times when I would refer you to this policy package summary so you can see the effect of both of the original request and then the adjustment. So this is package 129. It's on page 2 of this display. It's the last package above the total lines, package 129. You can see the governor's recommended budget originally had a total of 649,000 total funds for position and 3.5 FTE. The reshoot adjustments would add about another 50% to it, one position, 1.50 FTE, so that you have a total package of $948,864, five position and five FTE. So it is a significant increase, but based, again, on what other states have been, those states that were involved in the pilot efforts and other states looking at what needs to be done, there are requirements and mandates that need to be met. And then on line 22, we have the other technical adjustments and transfers. And again, as noted, these have no fiscal impact for the department as a whole, but have significant pluses and minuses in the individual cluster's budget. So for department-wide support services, you can see there's $9.8 million general fund and $9.2 million total funds coming into this budget as a result of those technical adjustments and transfers. And as I noted, the bulk of that, not all of it, but the bulk of it is the 80 positions coming in for consolidating the collections in DWSS. So then on line 23, we get to the department's reshoot request budget. So it's in the bold there, about two-thirds of the way down on page 2, you can see what their reshoot request is. Now we get into the other adjustments that we recommend that you make based on either the House budget, other legislative actions, or, again, the tweaky adjustments that LFO recommends. So lines 24 and 25 shows the effect of the PERS rate reduction and the Attorney General rate reduction on this budget. Line 26 is the reflection. Both the House and Senate budgets do not fund the package in the Children, Adults, and Families budget for increased Attorney General representation for child welfare workers. There were costs related to that in the department-wide support services budget and the governor's budget. This pulls that package out. So it eliminates the funding for that package. Line 27 makes the House reductions in services and supplies and capital outlay expenditures, 3% general fund reduction, which is $1.9 million. I will note that this budget, much of the services and supplies, as well as being state government service charges, also are related to information technology, services and supplies, and the bulk of the capital outlay. So that's why that number is as big as it is here. Then on line 28, we're recommending that you do not use general fund to backfill the Federal Health Services block grant. And this relates to, what line was this? Line 9 on page 1, where the agency anticipated, based on the president's proposal, that that funding would be going away. Generally, in terms of building budgets, we do not rely on the president's proposed budget in terms of federal actions, because there's so many changes that can happen between the time of the president proposes the budget and Congress finally enacts one. And in this instance, especially, we don't believe that that health services block grant will be going away. So here, and then you'll see in health services, we're recommending that you not backfill, that you anticipate that that federal grant will continue. And then to page 3, we've talked about line 29, so that's out of the calculations. And then on line 30, in the reshoot, there are positions being eliminated in seniors and people with disabilities, and there are some central administrative costs related to those, which we would recommend you take out of the budget. So we have a total House preliminary budget as shown there, $124 million general fund, $390 million total funds, 1,024 positions, and 1,013.80 FTE. So that is our recommended budget at this time for department-wide support services.
You know, the three-phase program has been valuable in that so much time was spent in phase one and phase two going through this, that this essentially is, you know, the final review of what we've done before. Thank you very much for going through this. Are there questions relating to this? Representative Wisnant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Baker, for my education, what I mean, I read this and I see the reshoot where we're $5 million extra we needed to put in. And when you take away the general funds, we're actually ahead of the game. Explain, you know, we read in the paper $80 million reshoot shortfall. We hear $20 million, and we're looking at $5 million. What am I missing here? What's
Mr. Chair, Representative Wisnant, this is just the department-wide support services budget. So the reshoot overall came in for the department with an additional general fund need of $66.2 million. And to look at the department-wide support services piece of that, you would compare the governor's recommended budget, the $118.6 million, with the $126 million on line 23, which is the total reshoot request. So that's the difference for this particular cluster. The rest of the $66 million you will see in children, adults, and families, health services, and seniors with people disabilities. And in fact, if I remember correctly, the major change is in seniors and people with disabilities. In fact, you'll see a savings, I believe, in health services and children, adults, and families reshoot as opposed to the governor's budget. Yes, you will. So the additional costs are primarily in senior and people with disabilities, and you'll see that as you work through that budget piece.
Follow up. Okay, but so for this area, the support services, we're really, from the state perspective, we're $3 million ahead. Is that correct? Because your other funds is a bonus. On the last line 30, when he, at the end.
Well, yes, in fact, you're $3 million ahead in the House budget relative to where the reshoot was, because the reshoot requested an additional $8.3 million for department-wide support services, and we're recommending a net change of slightly over $5
million. Okay, so that's where the difference is. They asked for $8.3 million, and we're giving them $5 million.
Further questions? Representative Hannah?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What will our process be? How will we move forward with this? Will we come back to this budget at all, I guess is my question.
Well, we're taking the DHS budget in increments, starting with this one, and then after we deal with each of the increments, then it'll all be combined into a huge bill.
Okay. Follow-up?
My
question then, I guess, and Ms. Baker, I don't know if I was clear. I would like to know the FTE associated with line 7 and 8.
And, Mr. Chair, Representative Hannah, you'll see those in the Senior and People with Disabilities in the Health Services budget, but I can get you those later today.
Thank you.
Okay. At this time, then, if we're done with the budget numbers, we need to talk a little bit about performance measures and potential budget notes. If we go back to page 2 of the memo, I note there that this budget cluster doesn't have key performance measures that it reports on specifically because its function is to support the operations of the other clusters. But as we heard, those who were on the Joint Human Services Subcommittee heard, there are numerous internal measures that they track in terms of trying to gauge their efficiency and effectiveness, and I've cited some examples there. There are also some statewide administrative performance measures that the Department of Administrative Services is developing, and so DHS will be using those as well. And I've added as well the standardized customer service measures that are being developed by Department of Administrative Services, and so those will be added to the agency's performance measures too. And I think you've heard in other discussions, those are in development. Agencies are supposed to be collecting data during this interim and then come back to the next session with their targets.
All right.
Okay, budget notes. At this point, no budget notes have been approved for department-wide support services. However, I did note that, as you're aware, in the last session, there was a budget note directing the agency to do a staffing study, which they have started on. A couple weeks ago, you heard about the initial findings and recommendations for Phase 1, and that was focused on the food stamps, the Medicaid, and the Adult Protective Services staffing. The original work plan, way back when, was for Phase 2 to look at staffing in other self-sufficiency programs, which would be like TANF, employment-related daycare, child welfare programs, vocational rehabilitation services, and senior and people with disabilities programs during this 05-07 biennium. So there is about 156,000 general fund and 156,000 federal fund in the budget for Phase 2 of the staffing study. And I thought it would be appropriate for the subcommittee to talk with the agency both about how they plan to wrap up the Phase 1 work and the timing and scope of Phase 2. And I would say that, or I would suggest that you would probably expect the agency at some point to come back to the emergency board and report on that. That doesn't need to be a budget note. We can talk about that in the budget report, but I would suggest that that would be something that you would want to put on the record for them.
Okay, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the things that came out in the preliminary draft on the of the staffing study was some recommendations in terms, and they weren't really well defined, but certainly they alluded to the next step might be involving partners in intakes, some constructive steps that could possibly moderate significantly our need for staffing. I've seen, Mr. Chair, I don't know if you've been approached or not by Jacqueline Zimmer with some suggestions on streamlining in senior and disabilities. She has a potential budget note that would identify some areas that we could look to in terms of streamlining intake, and very comparable to the things that were mentioned in the staffing study. I'm wondering if, through a budget note, if there's any way we could speed that block of work into the next biennium, not just the discussion of workload, but actually going ahead and getting the department to implement some of the changes that could actually reduce the need for some of the staffing costs that we have.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it'd be good to have Clyde come forward and let's discuss whether or not there are any of the recommendations that have come from the staffing study that could have an impact on the next biennium.
Good morning, Chair Richardson and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Clyde Psyche from the Department of Human Services. And currently, after our presentation to the committee in early June, we will be meeting with the contractor next week along with Ms. Baker and people from DAS to begin talking about next steps in developing an implementation plan for a lot of the recommendations you saw. I think when you look at the list of recommendations, there are some that actually we can begin work on immediately, and others, I think your point, Representative Hansen, is a good point, and a lot of states are looking at that. But really, in order to do it right, we want to make sure we do the planning and provide the tools for people to do that kind of work with our clients. And so I think the way the report issued the recommendations, we had some short-term, intermediate, and long-term goals. And beginning next week, we're going to begin developing an implementation plan to start looking at the recommendations and implementation.
Which has no impact on the next biennial budget.
Chair Richardson, I think it would be premature at this point in time for me to say there will be no impact. I think we'll get a better idea once we really start diving into kind of the recommendations and seeing what the impact's going to be. I really haven't had time to really dig down to the level that would give us that answer.
Representative Hansen.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Under the budget note information that Sheila's listed for us, the original work plan for Phase 2 was to examine staffing standards for other self-sufficiency, children welfare, vocational rehabilitation, seniors and people with disabilities. I'm suggesting that we ought to, and I think similar to what you're suggesting, is that while we're continuing to examine these other areas in terms of staffing needs, there also needs to be an implementation phase of the work that's already been done. And I'm wondering if that needs to be addressed in a budget note.
Chair Richardson and Representative Hansen, that's certainly our intent. Our intent is to kind of have two parallel tracks, one being the implementation of the Phase 1 recommendations and the second being the Phase 2 to start to look at other program areas.
Okay, kind of following up with that, the short-term efficiencies that were recommended, one included synchronizing recertification periods. One of the things that was brought out was that there, you know, we have different periods that those could be, we could substantially cut down the amount of time spent on recertification if they were put together. Is there a reason why that's not moving forward now instead of thinking about it? And I mean, I guess what I'm dealing with is we had a meeting on June 6th, okay? And so if there are areas that could affect from the next biennium in DHS, then to say I've been real busy and we're going to start meeting next week when you know that there's a meeting today to deal with the budget, I would think that you've been real busy for the last 2 weeks or last week and that you'd have some indication as to what could be done in the next biennium.
Chair Richardson, we have already started working on that one specific recommendation, and when you speak with CAF tomorrow, they can give you an update on that. But it's not a matter of it's not a matter of waiting on everything for the planning session next week. My understanding from CAF is they've already started working on the synchronization recommendation that was made, and I think Jim Neely and Ramona Foley can provide you with more information with that, I think, tomorrow.
Okay. If they're, well, it's getting kind of circuitous in that if there's going to be implementation and if that implementation would have a benefit in a reduced number of hours or something like that, then it would have an effect somewhere in the budget. And so maybe the answer is we don't know what the number is going to be, and maybe you're not the person, except that you've been involved with the staffing study.
Well, from the staffing
study. So I think you kind of are. Is there any indication that there will be savings made in the next biennium from the staffing study that's been conducted in the current biennium?
Chair Richardson, I would say that there's potential for savings to be realized, and I think that what the department could do is carefully monitor the impact of the changes, and then we would be happy to report back to the e-board or to you, if that's your wish, as we continue through the biennium to let you know what the impact of the implementation of the recommendations have been and what their impact on staffing would be.
That's reasonable. It is, and we'll do a rebalance at the end of the next biennium, and possibly that could be reflected somewhere in those numbers.
Sure. Ms. Baker. Mr. Chair, I would note that the reshoot that the department brought forward does include some staffing changes that relate to issues raised in the staffing study, both in children, adults, and families, in terms of reclassification of case managers to the support service workers. So there's, you'll see a little bit of savings there from those reclassifications. And then as well, in senior and people with disabilities, the staffing study noted some staffing more than should be in the eligibility workers on for food stamps and TANFs, for food stamps for seniors with people with disabilities, and there are some positions coming out in the SPD budget as well, not all related to the staffing study, but there are pieces of that showing up in the reshoot that you'll be seeing in the next few days. So, I mean, that's the initial cost savings, if you will, that can be tied to that. But I do think, as Clyde suggested, it would be appropriate as they come in for the rebalance, which they generally do every 6 months during the interim, that they be able to identify what savings that they're showing in there or what investments that they're making are related to what the staffing study identified as recommendations.
Mm-hmm. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I'm very hopeful that the staffing study and the work in this effort is going to allow us to be able to get more work done more with less activity. But I think the net impact on the budget, if and without getting into what we'll be talking about over the next couple of days, we haven't kept up with the staffing needs. So this, if the staffing study is successful and we're able to do some savings, it will better allow us to get by with the number of staff that we currently have. I don't think there's going to be a big dividend But what it may allow is to be able to get by without having to increase staffing, or being able to actually do the work in an efficient manner without errors and some other things. But I don't think we're going to see a huge saving dividend coming back that we can re-spend someplace else.
Chair Richardson and Representative Hansen, I think those are really good points, and I think the other point I would make is that hopefully what it will also help us to do is improve the service and the level and the quality of service we provide to clients.
Okay. Any other questions on the staffing study? We'll be anxious to hear, as after your meeting this next week, you know, what your plans are. I'd appreciate if you'd keep me in the loop.
Yes, we will.
What's going on? Thank you.
Mr. Chair, last interim, after the staffing study got going, there were periodic reports to the members of the subcommittee, the emergency board subcommittee, on what was happening with the staffing study, and I think that's certainly something the department could continue to do this interim as the study's progressing, both on the implementation and then on what's happening with phase two.
Because I think that ought to be planned on, just be part of the agenda for these meetings.
Mr. Chair, if there are no other questions, then I would recommend that at this time that you approve a preliminary budget for department-wide support services as identified on the bottom of page 2 of our memorandum, with the understanding that if there are any changes, we would bring it back in the final work session on the department's overall budget.
Okay. I'll take a motion.
Mr. Chair, I recommend that the subcommittee approve the preliminary budget of $123,984,676 of general fund, $51,833,409 other funds, $214,235,479 federal funds, 1,024 positions, 1,013.8 FTE for the department-wide support services.
Representative Wisnant moves the committee accept LFO's recommendations to the subcommittee for approval of the preliminary budget and the amounts that he has designated relating to also the money and positions. Is there a discussion on the motion? If not, then motion carries, and we will approve recommendations of LFO.
And Mr. Chair, tomorrow I'll be back with the Children, Adults, and Families budget cluster.
Okay. A lot of time and effort's gone into putting this together, this budget. And when I was visiting with Idaho last fall, they said, stay with your biennial system, because they do an annual budget, as soon as the legislature ends, it's like a three-month annual legislature, that they start preparing for the next one, and that doing it every 2 years is better than every year. Anyway, we thank you, all of you that have put in so much time and to enable us to bring it to this point where this first phase of the DH budget has been approved. Any comments or questions before we adjourn? Not.
I think probably any state that's working on budget must think that the other state must have a better way of doing it.
That's what I found. They said it's got to be better than what we're doing. Anyway, with that, our meeting is adjourned.